KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, celebrating 40 years with the arrival of Anniversary Blend Coffee and Tea. Portland locations on the web at PEETS.com. So stay tuned now for the KABU Morning News.
Good morning, this is the KBOO Morning News for Tuesday, May 16th, 2006. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Becca Bartleson.
Coming up, turnout for Oregon's election looks to be under 50%. President Bush has announced that 6,000 National Guardsmen will be sent to the U.S.-Mexican border to support the existing border patrol. And Israel's new defense minister is backing the sharp increase in arrests and killings of Palestinians. Portland area weather today, partly sunny except for patchy morning clouds. Slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy at the coast, clear inland. Temperatures in the 50s.
The auditor staff reviewed all 58 paving projects the city's maintenance bureau did from June to October of 2005. Of those, 13 met the state guidelines for requiring at least a cost analysis between city crews and outside construction firms. The 13 projects totaled 58% of the paving work during the four-month review period. In all 13 cases, city workers did the works themselves without comparing potential costs. There's no way to tell whether an outside contractor would have saved money on any of the projects. That's why the state requires a cost analysis on larger work and reporting of bid projects to the Bureau of Labor and Industries. This from the Oregonian.
Salem Kaiser School Superintendent Kay Baker's proposed budget does not fund an ambitious plan to revamp the way the district teaches students who don't speak English as a first language. District officials presented the plan to the school board in March, and most school board members said they supported it. It was developed in response to a three-year study of why the district's bilingual students are not succeeding. District officials estimated that it would cost an additional $640,000 per year for 3 years to implement the plan, which calls for intensive teacher training. Now, only 6 of the 8 trainers will be hired, and those jobs will be paid for by cutting other positions. Staffing at the Newcomer Center will be reduced from 2.5 teaching positions to just 1. The decision to not fund the program was made by the superintendent's cabinet. District spokeswoman Mary Paulson said the cabinet wanted to first see how much could be done through the restructuring rather than just asking for new funding. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
Ted Gulengoski is taking a dim view of President Bush's plan to deploy National Guard troops to the Mexican border. Oregon's governor is saying it's a political gesture that will do little to resolve immigration issues. Gulengoski and Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Oregon Guard, also said federal officials haven't given them any indication of how many Oregon troops might be deployed to the border. Gulengoski also worries about being caught short-handed if Oregon has a severe fire season this summer. He said the Bush plan comes just as the state is getting ready for a deployment of Oregon Guard troops to Afghanistan next week. Aside from that concern, Gulengoski says sending guardsmen to help patrol the border is a poor use of resources. Since the war in Iraq began, more than 4,000 Oregon guardsmen have been sent to the Middle East, with some soldiers serving multiple deployments, Caldwell said. At the same time, Caldwell said Oregon guardsmen will be ready to respond to the call if they are sent to the Mexican border. He said the mission will be accomplished. Not a good sign.
Attorneys for the ACLU have asked the FBI to reveal any post-September 11th surveillance of Southern California Muslims. The ACLU made the request for documents yesterday after Islamic leaders said the FBI gave them little information when they alleged that investigators had been monitoring local Muslims and mosques. The civil liberties group used the Freedom of Information Act to file the request on behalf of 6 Islamic organizations and several Muslim individuals. FBI officials said in an email to the LA Times that they would discuss the ACLU's request, but did not mention turning over documents. The government has 20 days to respond to the ACLU's request under the Freedom of Information Act. National Guard troops tapped for duty on the border with Mexico will not chase down illegal immigrants, but will instead play behind-the-scenes roles in support of border guards. The tasks they will perform over the coming year include training Federal Border Patrol guards, building vehicle barriers near the border, improving roadways, providing support for aerial and ground surveillance, and analyzing intelligence. The intent is to deepen the guards' existing support for law enforcement agencies, but only temporarily. Those tapped for border-related duty will come from the four border states, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. But those states' governors may also use emergency management assistance compacts to get guard troops from other states. The troops will not be put on federal status. Instead, they'll remain under the control of each state. Any apprehension and detention of undocumented immigrants will be handled by the Border Patrol, not the guardsmen.
President Bush said last night he would order as many as 6,000 National Guard troops to secure the U.S. border with Mexico and urged Congress to give millions of illegal immigrants a chance at citizenship, as he tried to build support for a major overhaul of the nation's tattered immigration laws. Bush gave strong support to a plan that would give many of the 12 million undocumented immigrants in the United States an eventual path to possible citizenship, a move derided by some conservatives in his own Republican Party as amnesty. He rejected that term. The Guard troops would mostly serve two-week stints before rotating out of the assignment, so keeping the force level at 6,000 over the course of a year could require up to 156,000 troops. The White House wouldn't say how much the deployments would cost, but said the troops would be paid for as part of $1.9 billion being requested from Congress to supplement border enforcement this year. The president timed his speech hours after the Senate began an intense debate on immigration bill that has been getting increasing attention in a year when all House seats and one-third of Senate seats are up for election.
Bill Self said yesterday its thorough review found no indication it gave telephone records to the National Security Agency as part of a federal anti-terrorism surveillance program. A report last week by USA Today identified Bell South, along with AT&T and Verizon, as companies that had complied with an NSA request to turn over millions of customer phone records after the 2001 attacks. Bell South spokesman Jeff Batcher said the company's investigation found no contract with the NSA, and we are confident that we have turned over no phone records, unquote. The USA Today report followed earlier revelations of wiretapping on overseas calls without a court order and sparked a renewed national debate over government intrusion into American civil liberties in the fight against terrorism, so-called. Critics denounced the phone companies for complying with the NSA surveillance request, while others approved of compromising privacy for national security. A USA Today spokeswoman and the paper's editor did not immediately return calls seeking comment.
In New England, emergency crews used boats to rescue people trapped in their homes and sewage systems overflowed yesterday. Rain pounded New England for the fourth straight day in what could prove to be the region's worst flooding since the 1930s. The National Weather Service predicted that rain totals could hit 15 inches in some places by Monday afternoon. Tens of millions of gallons of sewage spilled into the Merrimack River after pipes burst in Haver Hill on Sunday, and millions more poured from a treatment plant in Lawrence after floodwaters knocked it out of service yesterday. Emergency crews took to flooded streets in boats and used bullhorns to urge people to leave their homes in Lowell. Forecasters said the river could rise past 60 feet by Monday night, putting it in more than 8 feet over flood stage. State officials said their chief concern was potential damage to two dams along the rain-swollen Salmon Falls River in Lebanon, where two areas were evacuated as a precaution.
Russell Tice is a 20-year veteran of the United States Intelligence Network, having worked for Naval Intelligence, the Department of Defense, and most recently the National Security Agency, where he held the position of Intelligence Analyst and Capabilities Officer. He has intimate knowledge of the innermost workings of the intelligence community and wants to tell Congress about the NSA program that he says is unconstitutional and possibly criminal. Tice's story is complex. In 2001, he suspected a co-worker at the Defense Intelligence Agency of being a double agent. He discreetly notified a DIA counterintelligence officer who told him that the FBI had investigated and there was nothing to his concerns. Still, Tice had his doubts, but when he brought the matter up again in 2003, the NSA Security Office called him in for an emergency psychological evaluation. Tice asked the inspectors general at both the NSA and the Department of Defense to investigate the matter. Neither claimed to find any impropriety. In February of 2004, he told the NSA security office that if he didn't receive a new investigation or get his security clearance back, he was going to talk to the press. Shortly after that, he lost his job. The NSA denies that it practices retaliation against whistleblowers, yet Tice is still being monitored by the agency. This from In These Times.
ABC News has a very disturbing report today, at least for reporters and anyone else who believes that whistleblowers serve an important role in safeguarding American democracy. On its blog, The Blotter, ABC News reports that a senior government source has told its reporters that the reporters' phone calls with the sources are being tracked by the U.S. government to root out confidential sources. ABC News does not know how the government determined who is being called or whether phone records were provided to the government as part of the recently disclosed NSA's collection of domestic phone calls.
Stun gun maker Taser International said yesterday that the Securities and Exchange Commission has ended its investigation of the company and recommended no action against it. Taser disclosed in December 2005 that the SEC was continuing to investigate issues relating to trading in the company's stock after concluding a previous probe of the device's medical safety and certain accounting issues. Taser shares rose 28 cents to $9.72 upon the announcement of the decision.
An FCC commissioner said yesterday that the Federal Communications Commission should investigate whether phone companies are violating federal communications law by providing calling records to the National Security Agency as part of an anti-terrorism program. Yesterday, Atlanta-based Bell South issued a statement that it had found no contract, to provide phone records to the NSA and had not been providing bulk customer calling records to the agency. Verizon has refused to confirm or deny whether it has participated in the program. An FCC investigation, if undertaken, would be the second attempt this year by the government to explore an aspect of an NSA program. The Justice Department sought to investigate the role of its lawyers in the warrantless eavesdropping program, but ended the inquiry last week because its lawyers were denied security clearances.
A judge yesterday extended for 3 years a federal program to monitor reforms in the Los Angeles Police Department, saying key requirements to reduce officer misconduct have not been met. U.S. District Judge Gary Fiss rejected the city's request to extend only portions of the program, which resulted from a 2001 settlement between the city and the Departments of Justice, after officers were alleged to have routinely planted evidence, framed and beaten suspects, and lied in court. The judge said key requirements of the consent decree had not been met, including the use of a computer system to track misconduct. The system is, quote, not just a material part, but an essential part of the consent decree, unquote. The decree also called for improving internal oversight and training. The monitoring program operates against the background of more than 40 years of promised reform that the city and the Los Angeles Police Department have failed to deliver. The Justice Department and Police Chief William Bratton previously asked the judge to narrow the program to include only requirements that had not been met, saying failing to do so would send the message that despite all of the hard work, they're not effectively going to give you any type of reward.
The U.S. finally reacted to goading by the Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez by slapping a full arms ban on the country last night, claiming it had failed to cooperate in the fight against terrorism. Janelle Hieronymus, a State Department spokesman, said Venezuela had forged close relations with Iran and Cuba, both classified by the U.S. as a state sponsor of terrorism. She said Venezuela has publicly championed the Iraqi insurgency. Chavez, in London yesterday on a two-day private visit, dismissed the suggestions that he supported terrorism. He told The Guardian, "Washington has said I am modern-day Hitler." The Buddhist administration had accused him of terrorism because it was unhappy with his government's success, he said. "They are very concerned. That is why they say these things." He brushed aside the arms embargo, saying, "This doesn't matter to us at all." Venezuela would not respond to punitive measures against the U.S., he said. The U.S. was an irrational empire that has a great capacity to do harm. Among reasons given for the ban, the State Department referred to Venezuela's nearly total lack of cooperation with anti-terrorism efforts over the past year and claimed that it provided a safe haven for Colombian narco-terrorists. The U.S., according to the latest congressional figures, sold $8 million worth of arms to Venezuela in 2004, mainly pistols, rifles, ammunition, and riot control equipment. It has been a busy month for Florida's handful of licensed alligator trappers, but three fatal accidents in 6 days has left residents to the Sunshine State unusually jittery. The wave of fear follows the gruesome deaths of three Florida women in a week, an unprecedented tally given that there were only 17 recorded fatalities by alligators in the previous 58 years, according to the state wildlife officials. Tourists and residents in Florida are being warned not to swim after dark or in areas of thick vegetation, to keep pets on a lead, and to stay away from canals between dusk and dawn when alligators are at their most active. In the first attack in Sunrise, South Florida, a 9-foot alligator killed a student as she jogged beside a canal. At Lake St. George, a holidaymaker from Tennessee was snorkeling in a meter of water when she was seized by a 10-foot alligator, and last Sunday, another disembodied body was discovered. Police found drug-taking equipment at the scene, and a wildlife spokesman says it was not concerned with the condition she was in at the time, but the Pinellas County coroner said an alligator played in part in her death. It had possibly been using drugs.
Most Mexicans believe Bush's immigration plan announced last night will do little to stop the flow north. President Vicente Fox called Bush this weekend to say he did not believe sending soldiers to the border was the answer. The countries have rarely seen eye to eye since Bush and Fox agreed to work towards immigration reform 5 years ago at a meeting at Fox's ranch in Mexico. President Fox wants the Bush administration to give amnesty to millions of migrants living in the U.S. and allow more to seek jobs legally from outside the country. Bush rejected the idea of an amnesty and instead proposed allowing people with job offers to enter the United States and work legally for 3 years. The topic has generated a heated debate in Congress where members are divided between those who simply want to lock down the border and those who also want more comprehensive reforms. Bush proposed sending National Guard troops to the border as a stopgap measure while the Border Patrol builds up its resources to more effectively secure the 2,000-mile line between the U.S. and Mexico. The move is aimed at winning support for immigration reform from conservatives who are more interested in tightening security along the border.
The U.S. military said three more U.S. soldiers have been killed by roadside bombs in Iraq. Officials say two U.S. soldiers died yesterday about 50 miles north of Baghdad. They were killed when their vehicle struck a roadside bomb near Balad. Today, another U.S. soldier died when a roadside bomb exploded near a former Iraqi Air Force installment in southern Baghdad. Iraqi police said the blast damaged a Humvee and injured an Iraqi civilian. Also in Baghdad today, a deadly gun battle between police and suspected militants killed six civilians and wounded four, and a bomb destroyed a liquor store. Police think militants attacked the shop, trying to impose Islamic customs by closing down such establishments.
The European Union will support an Iranian nuclear program that cannot be put to military use and will boost political and economic cooperation if Tehran accepts international oversight. EU foreign ministers considered a package of enhanced incentives to induce Tehran to stop uranium enrichment, which many experts see as a first step towards producing nuclear weapons. The EU remains deeply concerned by Iran's failure to cooperate with the International Atomic Energy Agency. The foreign ministers' meeting in Brussels came just a day after hardline Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad rejected any incentive package that would require Tehran to stop enriching uranium. Iran's foreign minister Manoush Mottaki told British, French and German envoys to Tehran that Iran welcomes any proposal recognizing Iran's rights under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, but was quick to say Tehran will reject any demand to suspend its peaceful nuclear program. This according to The Guardian.
Israel's new defense minister, Amir Peretz, has defended a wave of killings and arrests of Palestinians accused of attacks on Israel. Peretz gloats that this is a very important achievement in the war on terror. Islamic Jihad, the target of many of the raids, described the Labour Party leader as even worse than Shaul Mofaz, his predecessor at the defense ministry, who made targeted assassinations a core part of the army's strategy. Since April, the army has killed about 45 Palestinians, including five children, in scores of raids on the West Bank and by firing thousands of shells into the Gaza Strip. The victims included women and elderly farmers. Scores have been wounded and hundreds of people have been arrested. Yesterday, three Islamic Jihad members were wounded when their car was hit by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. The Palestinian Center for Human Rights has accused the army of arbitrary arrest and had a series of retaliatory measures against Palestinian civilians in response to a suicide bombing in Tel Aviv last month that killed 11 people. Within days of taking office this month, he approved an Air Force attack on Gaza that killed five members of an armed group, the Popular Resistance Committees. Israel has fired more than 5,100 shells into Gaza since the beginning of last month.
The U.S. is to renew full diplomatic relations with Libya after deciding to remove it from its list of countries that support terrorism. This from the BBC. The U.S. has not had normal relations with Libya since 1980 and blames it for the 1988 Lockerbie bombing. It lifted many economic sanctions and restored some ties in 2004 after Libya renounced weapons of mass destruction. The U.S. Secretary of State said Libya had since shown a continued commitment to its renunciation of terrorism. Announcing the move to renew diplomatic ties, Condoleezza Rice praised Libya for its excellent cooperation in the U.S.-led so-called war on terror. Washington will upgrade its liaison office in the Libyan capital Tripoli to a full embassy. Yesterday's decision was the result of successful diplomacy and came after a careful review of Libya's behavior since 1993. Tripoli hailed the move as a significant step on the way to strengthening links between the two countries. Correspondents say the move was a highly anticipated decision that Libya felt was long overdue.
Vietnam has moved closer to joining the World Trade Organization after talks with the U.S. trade officials ended with a trade deal paving the way ahead. The U.S. has called the agreement, which will mean lower tariffs on its industrial and farm products being sold in Vietnam, as very good. The U.S. will also help Vietnam complete WTO membership in the near future. U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman said other barriers that block U.S. service providers from working in Vietnam are to be abolished. Portman said Vietnam was aware that reform and economic liberalization were needed to ensure its integration into the global economy. Communist Vietnam, which has been pressing for WTO membership for a number of years, wanted to join the trade body before hosting the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in November. Following a trade deal, Vietnam signed with Mexico last month. It then had to complete a bilateral deal with the U.S. in order to join the WTO club. However, one potential obstacle to a smooth accession surrounds the issue of the U.S. Congress's attitude to Vietnam's human rights record. This from the BBC.
Weakness in the U.S. dollar has continued to overshadow global stock markets as investors offloaded exporters on fears that corporate earnings will decline. Commodity markets have also slumped, with traders beginning to ask if recent record prices were justified. One stockbroker in Germany explained that investors are extremely nervous and the sell-off is hectic as people are trying to minimize their losses. A report in yesterday's Wall Street Journal claimed that President Bush's administration is quietly acquiescing to a dollar drop because it wants a weaker currency to boost foreign sales of U.S.-made goods.
China has revived a legal case against a detained New York Times researcher 2 months after dropping charges against him, his lawyer said. Zhao was arrested in September 2004 and was facing charges of leaking state secrets and fraud. But the charges were dropped in March, 1 month before a U.S. visit by Chinese President Hu Jintao. Lawyer Mao Xiaopeng said there was a new indictment against his client, but he did not know what the charges were. He said the prosecutors had told him they were resuming criminal investigation and prosecution, but he said there was no legal basis for this under Chinese law. Zhao, a Chinese national, has faced 10 years in jail after security officials alleged he told his employer, the New York Times, details of a power struggle between retired Communist Party leader Jiang Zemin and his successor, Mr. Hu. It was thought that Zhao would be released within days of the prosecution withdrawing the case last March, but he has remained in custody.
Six policemen have been killed in Nigeria's oil capital, Port Harcourt. An upsurge in attacks on foreign oil interests has cut the country's oil production by 20%. Last month, the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta, or MEND, renewed its threat to continue oil installation attacks, but have denied responsibility for last week's. The MEND group has claimed responsibility for two car bomb attacks in recent weeks, one of which was a warning against Chinese expansion in the region. This from the BBC.
This has been the KBOO Morning News for Tuesday, May 16th, 2006. Chris Andre edited the news. KBOO Newsroom volunteers, reporters produced and edited the tape. Matt Bingley is our engineer this morning. Kathleen Stevenson is the AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Becca Bartleson.
I'm Chris Andre.
Thanks for listening. We clear the air at 90.7 FM Portland, 100.7 FM Corvallis on translator K264AA, the NU 1.9 FM in Hood River on translator K220HR. Be sure to join us for the KBOO Evening News at 5 p.m. Want to know what goes on in the KBOO Morning News? Volunteer in the AM Newsroom. Call Kathleen Stevenson at 503-231-8032, extension 202. Portland area weather, partly sunny except for patchy morning clouds. Slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms, temperatures in the 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy at the coast. Clear inland temperatures in the 50s. Coming up today on KBOO.